Hi, I'm Aunt Zelda.
And I'm me.
And I'm me's cousin, Scott.
Okay, and you're listening to Aunt Zelda and me and the Bachelor and the Bachelorette.
This is the last time I'll say it. We're omitting one person.
Who
could that possibly be?
I don't like to be interrupted when I'm brilliant. If you in the audience feel that my name has been excluded, I want you to call Dylan and straighten his ass out.
Do you got a number for us to share with the audience?
And straighten his ass out.
You call him?
No, not call him. You have to Instagram.
Should we dox Dylan right now?
If you want to boycott the show because my name is on it, I give you permission. Because I will come back as Uncle Floyd and staff.
You're calling...
and the Bachelor and the Bachelorette.
And the Bachelor and the Bachelorette. You're calling people to actually... You're telling them to raise arms against me, Uncle Floyd?
What about me? I'm your wife.
I don't care.
I can see that.
This is moralistic.
This is more drama than the show.
This is so dramatic.
This is moralistic. Just because you got some Ivy League kid coming in and you leave
but
on
your wife's an Ivy
class
League kid.
Warfare.
Two Ivy League...
That's right, sitting over here.
Coming in and excluding me.
Two leaguers.
I want you to get those phones ringing so Dylan can get his act together. That's all I have to say tonight.
That's it? You're not going to talk the rest of the night?
No, I'll tell you what you're saying is wrong.
Okay. All right, yo. All right.
We hear that.
All right, so we're here. We're here tonight, right?
So that was a pretty intense fantasy suite night.
Freaking crazy.
Yeah.
But real quick, let's introduce the guest, right?
Okay.
So we're here tonight with my cousin Scott.
Woo, Scott.
Hello, everybody. I did just wave my hand.
All the way from Brooklyn, New York.
Real first timer here. Hello out there in Dylan land.
Silently waved his hand at when I said cousin Scott.
I believe I gave a nod as well.
Okay, so Scott, you're my cousin, but you're not from Aunt Zelda's side.
I am not.
No.
I am your mom's sister's youngest son.
It's right. True. From the
I'm an eagle.
He's an eagle.
An eagle.
Ah! Yeah,
a bald eagle?
Getting there. I might have just heard our numbers count.
Oh, God.
For those of you listening out there, just so much hair would blow your mind.
Yeah. But one day is what his point is.
Yeah. Wow.
So you're from my mom's side. Grew up in Boston, right? I mean,
Boston adjacent.
Look, you can tell.
People give you a lot of shit if you're like, "Oh, I'm from Boston," and then it's like, "What part of Boston?" You say, "Well, it's a suburb outside."
I just
want to be upfront about that.
I do the same thing. We're like, when it depends.
Yeah, but nobody thinks anything's in New Jersey.
Do you say you're from New York?
You cannot do that.
Get out! No way!
Let's chill out.
As an adopted New Yorker, I know that is like. I'm from a town adjacent to Boston. I wouldn't do it. You're from a different state from.
Come on! Don't ever confuse your state.
Oh my God.
Dylan, I think you just lost your...
I lost my...
It's a straight cred.
Oh, jeez. I lost my
certainly lost your Zelda cred.
Ah, for sure.
Oh, God.
Okay, yeah. I like... It depends, though. It depends, like, how close I am to New York. Like, if I'm like, in the tri-state area, if I say I'm from New York, everybody will, like, shit on me. But if I'm like...
What?
Yeah, everybody...
Who says that?
Well, everyone will.
Who's everyone?
If I'm from the tri-state area, I'll never say I'm from New York. Yeah. Like, if I'm in the tri-state area, I'll never say I'm from New York. If I'm, like, around here. When I was in Chicago, or, like, if I was in,
you
like...
Because
people
York?
In Chicago have never heard of New
York. No, they've heard of New Jersey.
Like...
Okay, if I'm, like, in another country, I'll say it depends how far away I am.
That's just because you're trying to get people to sleep with you.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's also... That may have been true.
Yeah, but that would have been better if you said New York.
Everyone's like, oh, New York is going to sweep me off my feet.
Wait, that's
like, New Jersey.
That's true. When you go to another country, like, people, like, love that you're from New York.
That's
you can
right.
just say I'm from near New York.
No. It's not the same, dude.
From the New York area.
They're never going to know.
Greater New York region.
From the New York
city. Oh, I say I'm from New York.
Well, you are.
Across the street from Lincoln Center.
Yeah, well, you...
Come
well,
on,
you
live from Lincoln Center.
Come on. What I say, most people
adjacent.
Say... How could you live in a place like that?
I guess
those are the people from
with
Jersey.
Lots and lots of money.
Right.
Those are the people not from New York. All right. So you're from outside of Boston. Right?
I'm from a
Scott. Just tell us about yourself. That's all I'm saying.
You're ABD.
Tell us how you know me. Tell us how you know me.
We already covered that.
All right,
we covered that.
This morning, Scott and I were at a bris together.
That's right. This morning, I was the Sendak, sort of like the Jewish godfather, which meant I got more up close and personal to the removing of a schmeckle than anyone should care to be. I had to hold down the legs while the moil
clipped it
and snipped it. I thought it would be a snip, but it was a scalpel. He cut it off like a piece of soft cheese. It was so much skin. Oh. I thought it would be like a tiny little thing. God. No, it was like I saw it going slow motion. Like, I realize I'm making hand motions right now, and that's not going to translate
to the listeners out there. Oh, my God, the piece going to be scarred for life. What's his name?
Well, he's a
boy.
He's not going to be he's scarred for life. That's what circumcision is by definition.
Literally scarred.
We're all you're a Jew. Good question.
What's his name?
Izzy, but they call him Izzy.
Yeah.
Oh, Izzy. Sorry, Izzy.
He's only 7 days old, but they call him Izzy.
You know what? There's one good thing about a bris is that the person who's having it done never remembers it.
That's true. Actually, so I was talking about this today. Did you know? You know that during the conversion process, if you're already circumcised, they have to
bless it.
No. They have to recreate the circumcision, and the way that they do that is they stab a needle through your penis.
I don't think that's true.
I refuse to have it done again.
I'm gonna call bullshit on that.
No, they do. They like they might not stab it through, but they prick your needle with a needle.
I wonder if
does the moil suck the blood? You supposed to suck the blood.
I don't think so.
Did you watch him suck the blood?
It's not a Hasidic circumcision.
No, but that's
he had a guitar. Yeah, I understand that. I think that's only like a few sects of the Hasids, and that's supposed to been outlawed because it's been transmitting certain diseases.
I refuse to have it done again, no matter what they say.
Uncle Floyd, you're not going to get it done again.
I refuse, no matter what they say.
Actually, Uncle Floyd, we have a moil here tonight, and we wanted live on the podcast, we wanted to give you a second circumcision.
You better run away.
My name is John Smith. I'm not Floyd.
Yeah.
We have an Orthodox branch of our family that are the Smiths.
Really? Oh, yeah. I was like,
shout
really?
Out to Debbie and Jamie.
A fine Jewish name.
Fine, classic Orthodox Jewish
That's
name.
Right.
All right.
I want to thank the 30% more viewership, more listenership
That's true.
Than before. Thank you so much for joining us. Keep up the thing, and let's double it next week.
Yeah, right, tell your friends and your friends of friends.
Tell your friends and your friends of friends to listen. All right, let's get into it.
Everybody's yeah.
Listen all to right. all the circumcision.
Well, first, before we get into it, I just like to say, you know, you asked how I knew Dylan, and of course, he's my first cousin. But when I first started grad school, and I was going through kind of a hard time, and Dylan was living there,
as opposed to now.
Not New York. I mean, grad school. Yeah. If you're a ninth year grad student, you're kind of permanently going through a hard time.
Yeah.
But, especially when I started, and I was looking at what I thought would be like 6 years ahead of me. Dylan was there because he was taking some time off from college, and we hung out a lot, and it was like our first time bonding as adults. I think we became pretty close.
It
was before he had the septum piercing. I don't know how that would have changed things, but
you mean
at the time,
a different breakup than now?
Oh my God, I'm not going through a breakup right now.
Okay.
Man, everyone is. I just
very
you know,
touchy,
it was very,
very sensitive.
Yeah, right. really, we've all been there and done that.
Yeah, we have. We've all been there. We've all done it. All right.
No, I'm just saying. Your host is a very good boy.
He is.
Thank you.
Nobody has ever dropped me except my first wife.
Yeah. Well, there you go. All right. Okay, guys. All right. So let's get into it. Right.
Never divorced.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. Yeah. At least you're never divorced.
Right.
At least you haven't been divorced.
There's so many aspects of the show.
Neither have I.
So she dumped a guy before even the rose ceremony.
Sure, there was
I feel like we just jumped right to the end.
Let's get to the beginning.
Okay.
All right. Let's go on. All right. So the first one we see Pilot Pete.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, they had a really sexy makeout. Non-physical. She said.
I liked Pilot
Pete.
He's like a nice boy.
He's a very nice.
They
guy.
Had sex.
I'm a bachelor. I'm a bachelorette virgin.
Which most of our guests are. But that's exactly why I don't think she'll pick him. He's a nice boy.
I would bring Pete home to meet my parents.
Yeah.
I didn't like the way he talked because he had a very California vibe. He sort of licked
yeah,
his intonation.
Yeah.
Up at the eye, I think a very judgmental East Coast. He had that kind of lifted up into a
like
question
a,
inflection
like
at the end of a sentence. 405? Yeah.
Like the 405?
It sort of sounded like Dave Franco. But,
the only thing you know about California is the 405. You just keep saying, the 405.
Because on Saturday Night Live, they do that.
The Californians.
The Californians.
405 to
right.
the
oh,
713.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I agree. He's a super nice boy.
He's the only one with a good job. What's she looking for?
He's a pilot. Right, yeah,
right,
I don't know,
right,
man.
Right.
I mean, he
has his own plane
He's not the Jewish bachelorette.
That's right. He has his own plane and
yeah, definitely not.
He has his car is a really nice Mercedes sports car, right?
It's true.
I think we found out what's important to Aunt Zelda.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, we know it.
Uncle Floyd
knows it. It's the money.
Values, really.
It's the car.
It's the car, the T-tops.
You get to live in the Upper West Side of New York if you don't take these things seriously.
Actually, sometimes you can marry a guy who lives in the Upper West Side, and then all of a sudden you're promoted. From the hovel you might live in.
Excuse me.
I'd trade a car for an apartment on the Upper West Side.
Wait, there's something.
We have a car and an apartment on the Upper West Side.
You guys are just swimming in it.
We're swimming in it,
talking
right.
about the 1%.
There's something tonight. Oh, yeah. There's something tonight where you. Oh, he had a boat. It was on the yacht, right?
Oh,
they, like,
yeah,
were,
that
like,
was
on
really
the yacht.
Nice.
And Aunt Zelda,
and it looked very sexy.
You said, and Uncle Floyd, you were like, would that have gotten. You said to Aunt Zelda, would that have. Would you have chosen that over the T-tops? And you said yes.
Yeah, hell yes.
Yeah, you got it. You got
I said, would you go to bed with me if I had a boat?
Yeah.
And she said, you damn tootin'.
Well, it had to be a...
You damn tootin'.
She says that all the time. Classic on Zelda.
She said, you damn tootin'.
She said damn tootin' before bed.
That would have been very good as... But not if it was like a little blow-up boat.
Yeah, which is more likely.
It had to be like a, well, like the yacht version.
So we got Pilot Pete, right? So do they have sex?
Yes,
yeah,
in the windmill. And she said twice.
Right, sex in the windmill.
And twice. She said that we did it again.
Because she said to Luke later on, she said that she'd had only had sex with two people. And
I think she meant before
that
this.
Before,
I think
no,
she
I
meant
think,
before
no.
this situation.
It was before the situation.
I think.
Okay.
Right, because she said both of them were men I thought were going to be my husband.
That's
she's
right.
sort of giving away the game.
Right.
Right. And so then Peter says this thing. He says that, well, first he says they came together. What do you
right.
guys think that means?
I don't
right.
think he's
think
clever
that,
enough for that to have been the double entendre
right.
that you read in this.
But what is that? Like,
is
like
that sexual?
I think he meant
is that
we
sexual?
Came together in holy congress of our bodies.
Oh, like
actually,
we came together.
I think
our hearts,
they want to come together in holy matrimony.
Our
yeah.
hearts merged as our other parts
as
just
merged.
Also
merged.
I think he might be. Maybe he's trying to imply. You know, I don't know. Do you think she did come?
It's like we came together, but
yes, I
also
do.
Then we came separately.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think,
or not at all.
Yeah, or not at all. I think.
Well, maybe we faked coming together.
I think so. So he says, Mike drop, game over, Hannah's mine. Like after they have
right,
sex, right, the
right,
next day,
right.
And it's like
that
okay,
is bold,
and that's bold, right? It's like yo, that must have been like that's what makes me think maybe they did come together. Like that is like that's good sex.
Yeah.
That has to be like my, like if you're that freaking confident and there's three other dudes, like it's like okay.
I think it's the fallacy of the first position. He's just I was
fallacy.
First, I locked it down,
yeah.
And nobody else can compete. But actually. Who's going to stay on our mind? The
maybe.
Last guy. It's just natural. It doesn't
yeah.
matter. I mean, of course, maybe not in this case because we saw how the last guy.
I still think that he's too nice and she wants some edge.
I think so, too.
She wants an edge.
Okay, I have...
Also, are we sure of the editing process? Was it definitely shown in the
no,
order that it happened?
We're not
okay.
sure of that.
No,
so it could have been
out of
order. I was on a podcast like a couple days ago called Nobody Dances Here.
Ooh, Brad
and,
much?
Like,
you
yeah.
working on another show?
No,
Man,
I'm not.
Brad?
I got invited. It was Quentin. Quentin was on ours, and then he invited me on his.
I don't know from Quentin.
And this,
oh,
and there, yeah, you don't know Quentin. But so they were talking about on it, like they were saying that this dude, he was like 39, and he was on the podcast, and he was like. He was like, yeah, he was like, I didn't really ever orgasm. And he said he never orgasmed until he was like 27. And he said that he had like orgasmed before, but like not like really orgasmed. And he went into describing like this full body orgasm that like when you have it with somebody
tantric.
Else. Yeah, I guess that like, or like
tantric.
This like thing,
tantric, right?
This thing that like he was basically saying that like you just get like hot and it's like this crazy like insane relief and like afterwards you're just like how did you do that and like you like can't move like that kind of thing.
For the listeners at home who can't see us, Dylan right now has his hands up in the air like an eagle
like
about
a,
to attack.
But I'm just like I was
well,
like,
you are eagles. You
like, is that
first
real? Does everyone know about that? Is that like a real thing?
I think that's called the female orgasm.
The female and he had this female orgasm. You think
maybe. He had a female orgasm.
Maybe.
Right.
I don't know. That's wild. But it made me think. I was like, man, like, what the? Like,
maybe you've never had an orgasm.
Maybe I've never had an orgasm.
That's right. We have to think now.
Mm-hmm.
We have three
Well, wait a minute. When you went to the House of Yes, you never had one?
It was a mental visual
is
orgasm.
It's not a brothel.
No, it might as well be.
Well, it was when he went there.
It might as well be.
Oh. Anyway, Howard, we have...
Oh, you your aunt too?
No.
Wait, let's think about this.
Well, your aunt knows a lot about
this. Well, let's think. We have three guys.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the producer is bringing a fourth one back.
Are you sure?
Like in the next episode?
I think you read
that. We saw him come back.
Yeah.
Didn't I say it?
All right,
I called it.
Let's keep it in order, though. Keep it in order. So, okay. So the Peter thing happens. Then we go and we see Tyler C, right?
Yeah.
So Tyler C, it's like, she's all like, so this is like awesome.
She's lusting after him big time.
Because she's lusting after him big time. Like she has this physical attraction. She's like, I don't want to have sex in the fantasy suite because like, I already know that I have a physical attraction to you. I know that this would work, right? And so they spend the night in the fantasy suite talking. And he respects her.
And kissing. He says,
and I quote, he celebrates my boundaries.
He celebrates. And she said.
She says that.
She said that Tyler is the most
respectful man
that she has ever been with. And then she emphasizes and says ever.
Ever. Which kind of made both of us sad.
It made us sad.
Why?
Because
everyone should be that respectful.
Well,
it should not. I mean, yes, of course.
Unfortunately,
but
it's not like
it should
that.
Not be.
In
respect
real life.
Should not be a single. Sure. But respect should not be a singular experience.
Right,
exactly. That's
horrifying. I mean, she's 24, 25, and that's the...
I mean, I guess she's only been with two other guys, so what she's saying is both those other guys
just never respected her.
They just kind of took... Yeah.
So Uncle Floyd is really going at the ice machine right now.
It's our sound effects guy in the background.
Yeah, I got the sound effects guy. All right, it shouldn't be a singular thing. I mean, I feel like...
It sucks that he's getting credit for that. I mean, no, it's good. He should.
It's good. He should.
But,
you know what?
She
that's the way
so
the world
pleased.
Is. That's the way the world is. I mean, look at this whole... That's caused that whole Me Too movement. It's not because guys are just...
Guys respect
generally
girls,
are respectful.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I feel like they should emphasize that more. Like, I mean, they emphasize it a good amount in The Bachelor, like, but I mean, the respect aspect of it that happened this time. But I just feel like there's something, like, really awesome there, just, like, seeing...
thought that was awesome. Really
yeah, funny. No, I did. I mean, I think there's something awesome seeing Tyler, like, really respect it. But all,
really?
At the same time...
Tyler's playing a game, though. I mean,
he's playing a game.
Why?
Because he knows. She basically says... Don't sleep with me and you'll be in the game. It's like, okay, can you delay your gratification? It's like the M&M test. Can you delay your gratification for a minute? He doesn't sleep with her for one night. And she'll think he's this incredible guy. Because what? He did what any human with basic respect for another human should do. And all of a sudden, she thinks he's the greatest guy in the world.
Well, that's true. But I think that she thinks he's the greatest guy because he looks like the greatest guy.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that the weird part is that, like, it's, like, and this is kind of what we were just saying, is that, like, it sucks that that's not the normal. You know what I mean? Like, it sucks that, like,
it sucks that
everybody on Twitter and everybody on Instagram and everybody all over the place and everyone on social media, it sucks that everybody's, like, celebrating this and they should.
We don't know
how,
that they are yet.
They are. It's all over.
Yeah.
But, like everyone's celebrating it and saying how amazing Tyler is, and it's like, that should be the standard.
Right, exactly.
That should be the straight up standard.
Yeah, we're talking about utopia here.
Talking about utopia, but also it's like hopefully shit's changing.
We should be talking about expectations. Whether people live up to them or not, it should still be an expectation.
I've never heard in all the years of my watching The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
How many years is that now?
Since the beginning.
Yeah.
And I've never heard so much about respect.
Well, there's a moment in there.
This is refreshing. This is kind of refreshing. Usually that doesn't come into play. The respectfulness.
The respect part.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, for sure. I mean, again, like, it is, like, you know, and they bring a lot of these, like, classically, like, masculine macho men onto the show, and, like, they create this whole, like, dynamic of, like, trying to win the girl's heart, like a Prince Charming kind of thing, and, like, the princess, like, falling for the Prince Charming, like, all that shit. And, like, so it is nice to see, like, the sort of respect thing and the emphasis of that. But, again, like, it should just be the standard.
Mm-hmm. And it's also hard not to read it cynically as, oh... Me Too is hip now. Let's, like, ride this wave.
Let's
capture the zeitgeist.
Yeah,
pretend, like, this sort of
gender
normative...
I had this feeling about him.
That's what he's doing, is he's riding the Me Too?
Yeah.
Well, not him. The producers.
The producers, but maybe Tyler C is, too. He's playing the game.
I think...
Because he just didn't... refuse her because he just...
See, it's a tricky situation because that also sucks. It's like...
It's also... He's on TV. He's not going to say... The hell with that! I'm gonna ravish you.
But he refuses the situation, and so, like, now we're all, like, suspicious of it, too, which is, like, that also
sucks.
Sure,
there's a you damned if you do, damned if you
don't. Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Oh, poor man.
Yeah, Dylan.
Test.
So hard to be a white man right now, Dylan.
Can't get it right.
Cry for Dylan Biello, the poor 20-something white male.
The smallest little violin.
Jeez, I wasn't asking for pity. I wasn't asking for any of that stuff. All right,
who's going to be the next one to be dumped?
Luke P. just got dumped.
Thank God.
For the next show.
Well, everybody here seems to think Peter the pilot, Pilot Pete, will get dumped next.
I'm rooting for Pilot Pete. Like I said, seems like a nice boy.
I'm rooting for Pilot Pete, too. I think he'd be the best person to marry, but I don't think that he'll win.
No.
I just don't feel like he'll win.
He's too nice. Remember, wait a minute. Didn't you do your recent, before Julie, of course.
Yeah.
Didn't you do your recent dating profile and you put in
bad boy? Yeah, and I got way more hits.
You see? That's
way more girls were interested. Scott and I were talking about it this morning. We were talking about how I put that in my profile this morning and how like at one point when he was on the apps, like he had like a genuine profile. This was like months ago. He had like a genuine profile and I was like, oh yeah, you should make it something that's like just really stupid and like dumb, like bad boy.
Yeah.
And he didn't, but then he like had said, he's like, yeah, it would have been interesting to see.
Yeah, it's definitely a sociological study.
I needed a Gen Zer to school me.
Yeah, you need a Gen Z. Yeah, I'm a millennial,
Gen Z,
baby.
Right. It's all about that.
All right. So we have also Jed, right? So the whole Jed thing, like if we're going to move on, right, the Jed thing is going down, right?
I got a lot of thoughts about Jed.
You got a lot. What are your thoughts about Jed, man?
Yeah, because you're first meeting him tonight.
I think Jed was... You know, Jed, like, completely negative. Jed was the one who was talking bad about Luke, right?
Yeah.
And so this really pissed me off.
But this
is going
on for a long time.
But beyond whatever the backstory is, basically he came out with this really messed up strategy where he was like, I'm going to convince her that she's doing something wrong and doesn't even realize she's making a mistake, so I know her own mind better than she knows it. And he said something.
I
took notes on it. And he said, I'm just worried, you know, he's like, what do you see in Luke? And Luke, he's this bad guy. He's not good for you. And I'm just worried you keeping Luke around is indicative of you having a hard time letting go of things in your life.
Right.
Letting go of negative things in your life. That is
a real fuckboy move.
That worries me.
That is such bullshit.
He's gaslighting her because she got really mad.
What's gaslighting?
I don't think he's gaslighting
her.
No,
he's gaslighting 100%.
What is that?
So gaslighting is when you convince someone, usually a woman, that they're crazy, basically. They say,
like,
I'm upset about something, and you're like, that's not a thing.
So
that
Luke has been gaslighting Hannah basically this whole entire season where, like,
for example, he says
something, and she's
then
like, this is what you said, and then he's
right.
like, no, I didn't say that, I
right.
meant this.
That's
and what
right.
what he did was he told her that she should feel bad about something that she didn't realize she actually felt bad about, and then he pretended to get really angry at her out of concern for her, and then she ends up comforting him,
right.
and that improves his position.
Do you think it was premeditated?
No.
It was so manipulative. It was a strategy.
I agree with Scott. I think that it was super manipulative.
Wow.
I don't think that it was earnest. I also think that it's Jed, that is literally the game of the show, is her trying to figure this shit out, and you're making her feel guilty about not being able to figure it out.
I see.
And that's not
right.
fair.
At the same time, I'm aware of the irony that I am also at another level saying that she doesn't know her own mind because she goes and comforts him at the end, and I'm saying, you don't know what you're doing.
He manipulates her. But the other part about it is he told her that he loved her, and then she told him that she loved him. He is the only person that she said, I love you, or I'm falling in love with you as well. The only person. And he used that to his advantage and said, and basically was like, if you don't figure this Luke shit out and let him go, it makes me worried, and when I'm worried, I retract my feelings.
Exactly.
And it's like, dude, what the, like, whoa,
right.
dude, like, you gave her an ultimatum.
Right.
He gave
right.
her, he turned the game show around
right.
and gave her an ultimatum.
What
when
a manipulator.
Really, when really she's the one who should be in control.
Right.
Yep.
And he took
Women
control.
Women should always
he
be in
basically,
control.
I
want to
share something in my life.
The last guy?
One second.
The last guy was Luke.
What? The last guy was Luke. He basically did exactly what Luke did. Luke's the Christian one.
Yeah.
He basically did exactly what Luke did. He just did it in a much more savvy fashion.
He did it savvier. Because Luke... I think Luke's dumb and he's doing honest. It like... Yeah, Luke's...
And until he backtracks.
Yeah. He's like... Oh, yeah. No. Oh. But yeah, Jet. I think Jet's move was like pretty skeevy.
Skeevy.
I do. Oh. I think it was skeevy.
I was gonna say Fuckboy 101, but that was like Fuckboy 403.
That was
like a senior thesis.
That's like a senior thesis. That was a senior
thesis. Not master's level Fuckboy.
That's why I think that it
Holy
was.
Holy shit. You know, that was a fucking senior thesis. I just want
to share this with the audience. Sometimes it's necessary to give a woman an ultimatum.
Hot take on
the
point.
I just want to share this. When I was going out with the famous Aunt Zelda, she tried to manipulate me by dumping me on Saturday.
And giving him Friday.
That's right.
And you know what I did? I gave her an ultimatum.
What'd you say?
I just ripped up her piece of phone into little pieces.
No, my phone number on
your phone
paper.
Number.
Not my phone.
Phone.
Yeah, right.
Her piece of phone.
Until I said, in my mind,
Luke
Rimmer
just doing it.
And she came crawling back.
No, I didn't come crawling.
Okay, but that's a little bit...
Master's level fuckboy.
Uncle Floyd is a master level fuckboy.
He's a tenured professor.
Yeah, he wrote the book of being a fuckboy. Yeah, he's a
textbook author.
He's a Upper West Side playboy. he's a born and raised Upper West Side playboy, baby. Hugh Hefner took notes from Uncle Floyd. It's the truth.
I could have had any woman on the West Side.
The T-top tickler, they called
it.
Right.
The T-top tickler. Dude, I feel like, so you got, if you don't know what a fuckboy is, I feel like it's just like a millennial playboy.
I'm a late millennial, and I'm just kind of throwing around words that I heard some young people say once when I was on the street.
Yeah.
Young people as opposed to yourself.
I was like, yo, put that on the gram.
Yeah, put that on the gram.
Oh,
yo.
The Instagram.
Should that go on my Hinge profile?
Yeah, definitely. All right, we got to get into Luke, but let's do it after our sponsors.
Okay.
We got some fancy-ass sponsors, guys.
What?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
All right.
We got to read.
Scott, if you can read this first ad.
This episode of Zelda and Me and the Bachelor and the Bachelorette is sponsored by Storytellers. We believe in storytelling, whether it's long stories or short stories, love stories or horror stories. Good stories or bad stories, warm stories or cold stories. So many types of stories. Storytellers has you covered. Our team of qualified storytellers can bring your beginning, middle, and end to life. Got a story? We got a teller?
Exactly, dude. Nailed it.
Yeah.
Got a story? We got a teller. That's storytellers.
And not even in a bank.
Not even in a bank. Yeah. All right, Zelda, we got a second one coming up.
Okay. Are the men in your life driving you crazy? Yes. Are they using religion as an excuse to take away the autonomy you have over your body? Mm. Is his name Luke, and did he tell you can't have sex with other men?
What?
If so, ban his ass with man-ban sunglasses. Man-ban sunglasses will banish the men in your life that don't deserve to be there. And the best part, you slip them on, and they look fleek as hell. Fleek?
Yeah.
Did you mean sleek?
No, fleek.
Fleek as hell.
That's also my Hinge profile.
Okay. So after they ban the man, you know he's going to be jealous. Head to manban.com today and use code AUNTZELDA, all caps, for a spicy little discount. Man ban because fuck that you do you.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's man band sunglasses.
Are these real ads or is this like a Prairie Home Companion thing?
These are real ads, baby. These are real sponsors we got going here.
I'm sorry, man band. I didn't mean to. I'm sure you are the fleekest.
What is fleek?
Fleek.
It's like cool.
It means like fresh. Like cool
off
looking. Yeah.
It's like fresh and
it's the newest,
sleek.
Coolest way to say
fresh
cool.
And
fresh and
sleek.
And there you go.
Fleek.
I'm
right.
On fleek.
Yeah, fresh and
Aunt
sleek.
Aunt Zelda is on fleek.
Is
on
fleek. Is that a real word? Was fleek a real word beforehand?
No.
I mean, I can look it up in the Oxford English Dictionary for you.
No. Never heard of
that's
fleek.
Not a sponsor of ours.
Uncle Floyd, we got one for you coming in the lineup.
Thank you very much for giving me the part. Embarrassed to lean on a loved one's shoulder. Tired of waking up with wet cheeks, worried about falling asleep on an airplane. Drool Tool is here for you. Our patent technology has been tested thoroughly over the course of 2 weeks. It's easy, just open your mouth and insert the stick.
Gag.
We do not test on animals. No animals were harmed in the testing of this product. Member of FDIC, remember the Alamo.
Member of FDIC?
What's FDIC?
It's if it's a bank. It
That's
protects
a bank.
It insures you against losses in case there's like
right.
a new depression.
All right, and let's remember the Alamo.
Okay.
All right, and then the final one is...
I've seen the Alamo.
This episode of Aunt Zelda and Me and The Bachelor and The Bachelorette is brought to you by The Fiancé and The Fiancé. Ready to move on from being a bachelor? Want to step up your game from bachelorette? It's time you join Fiancé and Fiancé. Starting at $420, Fiancé and Fiancé will find you your finance, and I think Fiancé, while simultaneously making you a finance while simultaneously making you a fiancé. But that's not all. The more you pay, the better the finance we give you. Money back guaranteed. You know what it's like to be the bachelor and the bachelorette. Now it's time you know what it's like to be the fiancé.
Okay.
Guys, it's time to become the fiancé.
All right. So who's going to become the fiancé?
Drum
roll.
Who do you think?
I like that nice boy who's a pilot.
Yeah, Peter the pilot. All right.
I feel like he's the long money.
You guys
yes,
want to?
He definitely is.
You guys want to talk about Luke?
No, I mean Luke is
he's dead to us.
That's right.
But Luke is cruising.
Gone and forgotten.
Okay, she kicked off Luke.
She dumpskied him.
She dumpskied
the quote. Uncle Floyd.
What did she do to Luke?
Dumpski.
Woo! She gave the dumpski to Luke. He tried to like pull that whole thing about like, you can't have sex with other people, blah, 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 blah. And she was like,
And then he immediately backtracked when he started to sense that she already had.
Yeah.
And he was basically putting himself out of
like,
the game.
I'll look over that. Yeah. Oh
yeah.
My
isn't
God.
That insane that he does
he's,
that?
He's horrifying.
Dude, and then I love Hannah took the Bible and turned it around.
Right.
On him. Right.
Right.
Which he, what
like
do you
he
remember?
He threw a stone.
Yeah,
like
what was it?
He's not supposed to throw a stone.
Like he was about to cast
right.
the first stone. He was
right.
They brought a woman into a village who had, I think, slept. They brought a woman into a village who I'm not Christian, but I think had slept with another man, and they were gonna stone her because that's what the Jew Bible says, you know.
Yeah.
And then Jesus held up her hand and he said, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." And they had a nice moment where they both sort of finish that biblical parable
right.
in synchrony.
Right.
And yeah. and Luke and she said, "Luke, you're like the one who's holding the stone in this." Because literally, Luke, you are not a
she
virgin.
Said, you are like this, holding your hand above her
right.
head.
Yeah. Luke, you are not a virgin. You also like have you like you are sinning like crazy. Like you're lying, you're prideful, you're lustful.
Being prideful is a sin.
Like, yeah, you can't do any like dude, you're the biggest sinner of them all. Except for Jed, who
is a liar.
Yeah, but you're also like you're like it's just. It,
what are
just
what are insane. What are the seven deadly sins again?
It's like gluttony,
adultery.
We've got
what do we got?
Murder.
We got pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, sloth. That's it.
Okay, I feel like the only one I feel like that doesn't hit Luke is sloth, because that dude is like
that
has
dude,
the body of a Greek god.
As do they.
Very
all.
Very appropriate for this episode where they spent.
Well, she actually
Greece.
Said that once, but about a different guy.
Yeah.
About
the guy you like.
Tyler.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I like him in the biblical way.
Right.
In the
not
biblical
for the long
sense.
Haul.
You fornicate with him.
Of course.
Yeah.
But she said she would, but I think she's going to pick Jed. I'm not sure how long it'll last.
Yeah. Okay. So this is...
Maybe we should tell Scott.
Oh?
Jed came on saying that originally he came on to promote his singing career.
Yeah.
And he admitted it.
Yeah.
But now he's totally in love with her.
Yeah, apparently. Okay, so...
Yeah, so he can stay on the show and keep promoting
his
singing career, right?
But his family... doesn't agree. They think he's still promoting his... He
oh.
has to keep promoting his
I never
his
watched
career.
It before, but I think that's what he's doing as well.
Yes.
So, okay.
Even though you didn't hear him sing.
So Hannah... Hannah is horny AF. She's horny as fuck.
She loves to kiss.
She judging. Loves to kiss. Sex positive. Dude, did you call yourself horny as fuck just because you want to, like, have sex with a girl?
Yes. So, yeah. So, Hannah is horny as fuck. She's, like, she's trying to hook up with all these dudes. But, all right. So, Julie...
She's a woman with desires, I know, which are natural. It's you. And it's
she's,
fine.
She's trying to
for
figure
all your
out.
Shit talk about what's his face.
All right, but so Julie said, Julie texted me in the middle of this and said, is she having sex with these guys like in a row, like every day in a row? If she is,
what's
she's probably with? Very sore, is what she said.
Well.
Well.
From her lips to your mouth.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God.
What about the mother, who is so difficult?
Watching her son, she's probably like, I got to wonder
she,
if she believes
more.
How do you think Michelle would react if you were making out all the time on TV?
I think my mom would be like if I was one of these dudes, like you think if I was in Hannah's position or in
I think your
the
mom
Jewish
would just
position.
Be patting herself on the back that you're handsome enough to be on the back.
Yeah, I think so.
She'd be like, I fucking did that.
That's right.
Yeah.
What if you were one of many men?
My parents are proud of weird stuff.
That's my genes.
They've bragged to their friends about my pudding recipe.
What if you
party.
Were one of many men that your mother saw on the show?
Yeah.
And she
saw me go into the fantasy suite?
Yeah, and saying you not go to the fantasy suite.
But she feels so bad for you.
Yeah. She didn't
you couldn't go to the fantasy suite because you're too good for that.
Michelle is Dylan's number one fan. She would be rooting for him.
She likes the fantasy suite?
Yeah, she wants me in the fantasy suite.
Remember, he's the baby.
I'm the baby.
Dylan's the baby.
The mother and the baby is... type bond.
I mean, if Jake was...
I'm the baby. I don't think my mom wants to know about the fantasy suite.
I know. That's the thing. I mean, I feel... I don't know. I
wouldn't mind knowing
I'm talking to my
Jake
mom about
fantasy.
Dating, and she'll be like, you dating? I'm like, yeah, well, that's enough. That's fine. I just want to make sure you're normal.
Yeah.
All right, just want to make sure I don't have to worry.
So I have a question. Sorry. To go back to, like, Luke's thing about him, like, trying to control Hannah and, like, trying to be in control because, like, you know, like, the values of, like, where he grew up, it's like that's the whole thing, right? Like the man's in control and like all that shit, right? Have you ever had someone try to control you in a relationship?
Yes.
My wife.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. But
that's my job.
But
it,
yeah.
But I had a boyfriend who tried to control me and I didn't like it.
Tell us the story. And Zelda, tell us. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah.
You told me I was the only boyfriend.
Have you ever
that's how she controlled you
in my last life?
Yeah,
I was going out with someone who and I was going to go to Europe in the summer and he says no, I don't want you to go, and I didn't go like an idiot.
You didn't go?
No, but I went the next year, so
good.
Fuck him.
Yeah. Were you guys
kill him?
Fuck that guy.
Yes.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
I just want to say something so you understand.
That's the guy who murdered someone.
This is a true story. That man was indicted for murder. She had some
a nice Jewish boy.
On Zelda, tip of the cap to you.
Wait,
was that a Robert?
Yeah. Wait, was that your first boyfriend? Because you also went to Albany for him.
Yeah.
So was he your first boyfriend? Because I feel like there's something with like
yes
first,
no.
like
yes and no.
There's like something with first where
yeah,
you're
I went
like,
steady
oh,
with someone.
You weren't dating Robert Durst,
16.
Were you?
No. I went steady with someone. I had someone's ID when I was 16 years
okay.
old.
He pinned you.
ID'd me.
Wow.
It's like branding.
Yeah, that's kind of like control right there.
Well, that's what it was about in the
It's an ID. It's like
60s,
an ID bracelet.
Yeah, 70s.
That's like
no,
whenever,
it's not 70s.
Whenever I date
60s.
A girl, I make her wear my varsity swimming jacket from high school.
Well, at least you don't brand her with a tattoo.
Yeah.
D.
Like Nexium.
Yeah.
The sex cults.
I had a girl that I was going out with. I let her wear my public speaking award.
That is how you get the ladies on the floor.
So I don't want to brag.
Yeah. Well,
varsity debate.
She did give it back, though.
So
the muscle of the mouth.
So I think so. There
it's
was
important
a,
to the ladies.
Yes, it is.
There was a time when, like, one time when I was like, I think like a junior, and
high school or college.
In high school, and like I didn't know how to be in a relationship, and like I thought that
was that
like,
with the prom date from last week.
No,
oh.
It was with this other girl.
You went to high school prom last week?
No,
no, we had his prom date as a guest.
Huh?
Yeah, but I told
she was cute.
She was cute.
Who, Emily?
The one I saw in the picture, yeah.
Yeah,
she's
yeah,
cute
Emily's
girl.
Cute. I told this girl, I was like, Like, it didn't feel good telling
Julie's
her this,
cute
but
too,
I told her, I was like, she was going to go to this party with, like, all these dudes, but, and I was like, I don't want you going to that party. Like,
So you tried to control her.
I did try to control her. And, like, it felt really bad when I did that. Because also the other thing about it, it's like, I didn't really care.
Did it make you feel powerful?
I don't know. I don't know what I was looking for. I don't, like, totally remember what I was looking for at that time. It was, like, at this point.
Well, you were looking for,
this point, it was, like, 12
monogamy.
Years ago. I guess I was looking for monogamy. I guess I was looking for your first orgasm. Yeah, I was looking for my first orgasm. I guess I didn't trust her.
The crib.
How did you trust her? Did you think she was gonna like sleep with another guy?
Yeah, I mean, like,
I guess you
weren't
secure within yourself.
She was young. She was like younger than me.
Wise words on Zelda.
Yeah, I wasn't secure in myself. She was younger than me. Like, it was a lot of things like that.
That's the therapist in me comes out.
No, I mean, it's that's true. So, I mean, I think that's the only time I've ever tried to be controlling in a relationship, as far as I can recall or remember. Because otherwise, I'm pretty just like, yeah, just like, I don't know, like, do whatever the fuck you want. It's way more attractive to me when you're like your own person doing
hear that
thing.
Julie,
yeah, take notes. Jesus,
controlling villain comes out again.
So have you Uncle Floyd or Scott ever like experienced that?
Yeah, I had a relationship that was maybe not the healthiest, and I think that's what I was coming out of at the time you met me.
Yeah,
and you know, it was
who was controlling who?
I think she was controlling me. It was a long distance relationship.
Yeah.
It was complicated. I was in China, she was here, I was trying to keep her happy, she was very jealous, she was around a lot of people all the time, I was just sitting in my apartment, you know, drinking beer and watching pirated DVDs all day, because anytime I wasn't around to take her calls, both, we were on a 12-hour opposite time schedule,
yeah.
And anytime I wasn't around in the morning when she was going to bed, or at night when she was getting up, she immediately freaked out and just thought I was sleeping with some Chinese girl. She was in business school, and guys in business school are kind of scumbags. And they're
yeah.
just like, oh, you know what I'd be doing if I were in Shanghai
right
now? Right. And she was like, you're doing exactly what they say. And all of them are saying, I should break up with you right now because you're cheating on me right now. It's like, I'm just sitting here being sad all day. Jesus Christ.
Did you ever talk to her again since then?
Well, yeah, so we broke up right when I started grad school. Yes, about a year, about 2 years later, maybe. It could have been like three, because I was already living with Jenny at the time.
Yeah.
And one Christmas
Eve. Is
Jenny
the one we're talking about?
Ex, yeah.
He's my
it's a
my
different
ex.
Ex.
Okay.
You know, a lot of exes in my life. And she.
Dude's been around the block.
She called me out of nowhere.
Dude's rocked the boat.
And Jenny, my girlfriend at the time, was home with her family. And I was just surprised to see the number. I hadn't really thought about this girl in a while. And I picked up the phone. She just had this really long conversation. And I felt like we kind of like talked and came to terms, and then the very next, and it was like good, it, you know, we just like made our peace. I told her like how she hurt me, and you know, she sort of apologized, but we agreed to like try and be friends.
Yeah.
And then the very next night she called me again at about the same exact time, and she was like, how have you been? And I was like, we talked for 3 hours last night. She was like, oh really? I was on Ambien. I have no memory of that.
Holy
that's
crap.
A put down.
Holy crap, dude. That's crazy.
And then I didn't know if I should tell my girlfriend at the time when she came home, and nothing happened. She was living in a different state.
Yeah.
And I wasn't like, I'm still in love with you. There was nothing like that. It just, and she didn't even remember the conversation. So it was kind of the only thing I'd ever kept from that girlfriend at the time.
Well, why did she call you the second time?
Because I think she called me the second time. The same reason she called me the first time. It's the same exact impulse. She was on Ambien again.
Oh,
but she
oh.
had no memory of having
oh.
done it the first time.
Right.
Oh. People, this is a girl who told me she once, accidentally ordered like a $6,000 Balenciaga
that's
ball gown
nuts.
When she was on Ambien. And she didn't realize until it arrived.
That makes me think, have you ever, have you, after being in a relationship and after, like, going through it and it's, like, a year or two or, like, 3 years later, have you ever called an ex to, like, apologize? Like, done that whole
thing?
I did
it once.
You did it once?
Yeah.
Have you, Aunt Zelda?
No, they should apologize to me.
Hell yeah.
I didn't call her. I met with her for a drink, and
I
was like, I apologize.
Well, I can say that my first wife called me after 20-some-odd years.
No, it wasn't 20-some-odd. What? What was it?
It's like 14, I thought. I thought we, like, talked about something like that.
What number?
It's
okay, call me.
Different
and
matter.
Once you get together, say hello.
You said no, right?
And I said, that's why they call it divorce.
Yeah.
And he dropped the mic.
Oh!
I love it.
And then he had like, and then he had that full body orgasm Pete the pilot was talking about. And he exploded and he took over as the playboy of the Upper West Side.
Well,
how about mic dropping going on?
We were together.
I believe he was the T-top tickler.
He said, I am the T-top tickler. It's tattooed across his chest.
It could also be like a serial killer name, though.
Yeah, right? Good. Yeah, definitely.
Like Killer Punch.
So,
BTK, TTK.
And TTK. Yeah. So I've never done that. I've never called an ex to apologize.
Maybe you had nothing to apologize for.
So I think in...
You're so perfect.
I feel... No, I don't think that's true. But I like in my last relationship, like I kind of...
You call her right now?
I feel... Yeah, call her on there. I feel really guilty sometimes and like embarrassed of like the person that I was, but I was very young. And we've talked about it on here. We're like, I was very young. I didn't understand it. I didn't have like a sense of like other people's experiences. And also like I was very insecure and filled with like, a lot of self-doubt. She was older than me. So by the time that I started going through like those sort of like mid-20s like tremors kind of thing where you're just like freaking out like I don't know anything, like she had already gone through that like 2 years earlier and she was through it, and like and when she went through it I feel like I was a shitty person where I was like I don't understand that yet, so like sorry I can't.
I think
help
I had
you.
Her experience once.
Yeah,
it wasn't very,
it's not good.
Understand.
And I've thought about apologizing, but also at the same time she's in a relationship and I believe, like, I don't know, but I believe she's happy now, and, like,
you'd
I don't...
just be stirring shit up.
I think I'd be stirring, and, like, I want her to be happy. Like, I don't want to, I don't want to, like, create any, like do
drama.
Your thing. Like, be happy and, like...
Good.
Like, enjoy yourself.
Like, if you called her, it would be more for you to convince herself.
Exactly.
Like,
it would be
person.
More... Like, if I call to apologize, that's for me. That's not for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
You could ask her if she wants an apology.
If I no, because I just don't think like contacting her
right.
would be.
You
like,
guys aren't in any contact whatsoever.
We're not in contact, and it wasn't like a vicious or a bad breakup or anything like that. It was just like I know who I was in that relationship, and I know that like it was not good for her, and it wasn't good for me, and I've changed and I've grown a lot, but like I don't want to bring that. That's who she knows. She doesn't know me now.
Right.
She doesn't know me over these past 2 years, right? She doesn't know me 2.5 years later, and it's
but
like
she's been listening to the podcast.
Yeah, she's been listening to the podcast. I don't want to bring that back to her, right?
Right.
I don't know. It's just like a thought I've been having recently about all that stuff.
Shark. Always moving forward.
Always moving forward. So, Aunt Zelda, let's do a segment called Ask Aunt Zelda.
All right.
You know? Because people are sending in questions,
ooh.
And we have a question.
Okay.
For this week. Last week we had a different question. This week we have a new question, right?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Usually I do the asking, but it's okay.
So, how do you continue to find your partner attractive? I've been in a relationship for a year, and I'm not always sexually attracted to my partner. I was when we first began dating, and I'm still attracted to them as a person and intellectually, but sexually I'll see other people... And I'm sexually attracted to them more.
They don't know Uncle Floyd.
Okay, so that's your answer?
Big ups to the T-top tickler.
That's right.
Dude, the sexiest man in the Upper West Side.
It speaks for itself, so
yeah.
That's the way it goes.
But could you elaborate? Can you elaborate?
I think that speaks for itself.
So,
it's just lovely.
So I feel like something here would maybe be like, you know, like how do you keep a relationship?
Yeah,
how do you keep a relationship alive, right? Like to continue to have maybe new
experiences with each other. I also think you have to realize that relationships go through different phases. And that honeymoon phase of, you know, your heart's pounding every time you see that person does not last all that long because you become comfortable.
Yeah.
And you should become comfortable. That's another part of the relationship. That's another phase of the relationship. But also it should be that you're attracted to...
And that's not a bad phase.
No. And you, but I think sexual attraction also...
Uncle Floyd licked his hands and he's putting his hair back right now. Oh my
sexual
God, we
attraction
get it.
Also comes from being attracted to the person within.
Yeah.
And their mind and their heart and the way they think and the way they treat you, that could be very
sexually attractive.
Attractive.
So, like, maybe you have to learn about yourself and, like, what you find, like, intellectually sexually attractive. You know
sounds
what I mean?
More
like,
emotionally than intellectually.
Like,
emotionally
sexually attractive.
Right.
But you have to figure
how
out
someone
those
treats
things.
You and takes care of you and you take care of them. And you know, how the relationship is going. And if it's so good, then that is a complete turn on.
So even if the lust of the newness is wearing off, you're building this.
That is that has worn off for every single couple in the world.
So how do you I guess keep that emotional thing like alive, like alive, I guess. Like in my head, I would be like, oh, like.
How do you stoke that flame?
Yeah, how do you stoke that flame? Like, do you have new, I would think, like, my first instinct would be, like, have new experiences with each other. Like, keep doing new things so you keep growing and, like, learning with each
other. Yeah, but just every day you're going to, and life brings so many ups and downs and a lot of downs. And, you know, when you're there for someone and they're there for you, that is very, very attractive.
So maybe, like an attractive or, like, sexually attractive quality is also, like, loyalty, like really deep rooted loyalty, not the kind of loyalty necessarily that's like
security.
More surface. Yeah, like that security. And like the security that you could find it in somebody else.
That you don't have to even think about if that person is going to be there for you.
Exactly.
You just know. And you're going to be there for them.
And maybe that's why, like,
trust more than loyalty.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's trust. Right. And maybe that's also why, like, serious breakups or, like, divorces are such a fucking, like, it, like, rocks your world. Right? Because, like, that security that, like, you really invested in and that trust is, like, no longer there.
Right.
You can't have it.
When I hear this, I'm very touched. I always thought it was in the morning, like, 8:30, when Zelda says, take out the garbage. I run and put the garbage out. Then, I want to say consistency. Then the next morning, like Tuesday, 8:30, take the garbage out. Oh, one more thing. You forgot that bed. Take that garbage out. And so we continue on for 7 days. Consistency is what keeps us together.
Okay, so it really feels like...
At least you didn't say the mortgage.
It really feels
I just didn't tell that's the best note. Years ago, I went to a wedding with Zelda.
One of my patients.
And everybody's talking, what keeps people together? It's that emotional thing. And it goes on the table. Oh, that emotional spirit inside you that keeps you so together. So my turn to talk. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. Usually the first of the month, the mortgage pays itself. We say, it keeps us together.
It's the shared mortgage.
I'll say my life got a lot more expensive since my ex moved out.
Yeah, in New York City, what keeps you together? The
it's okay.
Shared
It's okay. I'm a non-gainfully employed PhD student.
Like, I gotta wonder how many people in New York have stayed together because they're like, I can't give up this apartment.
About that.
Yeah.
That relationships move faster.
But that's 99% of human history.
That's true.
Lease is up, my lease is up. Well, hey.
Yeah. Like, I guess it just makes sense, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I was a catch. I had a rent-controlled apartment on the Upper West Side. What could be better?
Wait. Uncle Floyd, we don't
know. Two-bedroom, one-and-a-half bath.
Uncle Floyd, baby, you're the
T-top. Is that the one we're sitting in now?
No.
Okay, but that free apartment.
Hey, I upgrade.
Really turned Zelda on. Wow, I can move to...
Uncle Floyd, baby, we know you're the T-top tickler.
Uncle Floyd, that's turning me on right now. I gotta say, I'd tickle your T-top for that kind of
Say this: at the time, it was very hard to find apartments in New York.
At the time,
and now 30 years later, you guys have 3 kids.
Yeah, there you go. Just
the rest is history.
Right?
It's very hard to find an apartment.
A blessed union of real estate.
When I was getting boxes, I was talking to someone in the supermarket and said, I need boxes because I'm moving. And someone said, you're moving? How did you find an apartment? I'm marrying one.
It found me.
I like to think that the transactional aspect of marriage is still very much alive in New York City, where people are like, you can marry my daughter, you can marry my son, so long as you also have this apartment that they can live in.
3 goats, 2 sheep,
right.
and a classic 6.
And that means a studio apartment.
In
your gut.
There was something in it for me. I always thought Zelda's family was loaded.
Yeah.
Because my father-in-law always used to have a wad of money. So in the back of my mind, cha-ching. That's Cuban mafia.
You're wrong, Uncle Floyd.
I'm still waiting.
You're still waiting for it to cash out.
I mean,
it's
very common in China. You can't people won't sign off on an engagement unless the man owns an apartment and a car.
And let's be clear, I'm a sociologist.
I study the Chinese middle class. I spent a lot of time in China.
So you're actually an expert on that subject.
So much as anyone can be.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right, guys, we got to wrap this up. We're already at 15 minutes, all right?
So next week is, are they picking next? No, next week is...
Next week is the
semifinals.
Tell-all. Should we?
The tell-all
next week. It's the tell-all next week, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, I think so. I think next week's it's, yeah, the next week's the tell-all. Oh, wait, it's the rose ceremony.
No, it's the rose. And
she's going to dump somebody.
She's going to dump someone.
And then what happens?
There's two roses. Yeah, then she has to pick who she wants to get take the ring
I've
from.
Heard so much about these rose ceremonies.
What do you mean?
I was expecting a rose ceremony. I didn't get a rose ceremony.
Wait, when's the tell-all?
I don't know. Did they say the tell-all's next week?
They were, like, previewing it a little bit, and, like, Luke comes to the tell-all. It was.
Oh,
Luke,
I didn't see that.
Luke came to the tell-all and, like, tried to confess his love to her again. But, yeah, it was crazy. All right. So next week might be the tell-all. If it is, I'm thinking that we do a tell-all episode. Aunt Zelda and me and Uncle Floyd tell-all.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
And the people can send in their questions. But until then,
yeah.
You could find us on Instagram or on Twitter at Aunt Zelda and me. Feel free to DM us. Feel free to say what up. I love talking to you guys. It's the freaking bomb. I love talking about the show with you guys. It's the best.
Okay.
And if you have a product to promote,
send it our way.
Send it our way.
And we can. And if you have any questions or anything like that, send them in, and we'll have Aunt Zelda answer them in the new segment of Ask Aunt Zelda. And then let's cap it off with Scott.
Scott,
will you accept this rose?
Yeah, I think I will.
Okay,
I just
want to
say, Zelda Nation, it's been an honor and a privilege.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And having you as a guest, also an honor and a privilege. Please come back anytime.
Right. I will. Let's
especially for Jewish
again.
Holidays.
Right.
Jewish holidays. we usually go to her sister's.
And yeah. Dylan will have a new guest.
Maybe Floyd will remember me that time.
Yeah. All right, guys.
At Debbie's.
No,
okay.
I know there's only one person who's an Ivy League graduate that's related to you.
What? One person?
I don't know. All right.
No, you're like a standard.
All right, guys. Let's wrap it up.
Okay.
All right. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
Talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
This is Cake.